Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 233 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers, and I know that you're listening to make sure I'm on this show before you go ahead and hit stop. So congratulations. You can listen to it with me, as always, even when I'm not here, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
I did it for the nookie. The nookie. So you can take that cookie and
what is this,
stick
lounge?
It up your, yeah. No, I'm just recreating.
Limp Bizkit?
I'm recreating Fred Durst's performance at the most recent Lollapalooza concert. if you haven't seen it, it's just so coinciding with what we talked about last week, because it's so ironic that we talked about that and then he was in Lollapalooza looking like,
dude, your they're grandpa, on a resurgence. They're on a resurgence.
But he looks like that guy that plays chess in the park at Central Park or Brooklyn Park, you know, in New York City. He like does not look like he did it for the nookie, and clearly doesn't have the energy for the nookie anymore. Someone get my man some Cialis or ED drugs or something. This dude was like, I watched this clip. He's just got no energy.
He's been singing that song for fucking 20 years now, man. Like, some point you're like, yeah, I fucking did it for the nookie. We know. Come on. Get this cookie.
The wife and kids and I went to the food truck Friday night thing at our
to
local.
To watch Limp Bizkit?
Well, there was a cover band there, right? There's a cover band there. They got food trucks. And the cover band was doing Barracuda with no energy. It was just the same. I saw two no energy performances in 1 week. But somebody's a professional who's made millions of dollars doing it.
If you ever see a cover band doing a Limp Bizkit song, there's a good chance it's actually Limp Bizkit. And it's the only gig they could get.
Seriously, that's what
and
it
the
felt
only
like.
Way they can get that gig is by guaranteeing that they'll only play two or three of their own songs and all the rest will be good songs.
Well, that's what's funny. In the clip, they're shouting for him at one point to sing Roland.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do it. You can tell he doesn't want to do the song. But the whole clip, they're just yelling at him, do Roland, give us fucking Roland, break stuff. And he's just not wanting to do any of those songs. And then they finally do it, and it's just low energy Roland. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. What? Keep rolling, rolling.
The whole time. Oh, yep. But like internally, he hears, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Right, right.
He gets ready to do rolling. He takes the tennis balls off of the feet of his walker and puts casters on it. He's like, let's do this shit.
Some rollerblading wheels on that thing.
Yeah.
I'm just happy we got to talk about Limp Bizkit with Eric since we didn't get to last week.
Well, they're one of my favorite bands to make fun of.
Obviously. I was surprised.
You missed it.
Speaking of which,
I said they're one of my favorite bands to make fun of.
you did a cover song thing on your last That's Metal on the Patreon, and I listened to it, and you had like one or two Korn songs on there, and I was like, I can't believe you did those. And then even though I think the one on the wall is really good, I like it.
I
was surprised you didn't tackle Limp Bizkit's Behind Blue Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing that they've considered calling it Behind Brown Eye.
Right? Because they called it the Chocolate Starfish.
Behind Brown Eye.
Well, I bet there's takes of it recorded somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah, speaking of Patreon episodes, you should check out, now this is a terrible commercial for what I'm getting ready to say next. You should check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators, where you can hear such excellent excuses as why my episode of Strothers Family Secrets is late. But still, you should go there anyway and check out the other shows that are there. My son, Henry, my beautiful, beautiful 7-year-old boy, we had to go to the emergency room last night for many hours because he had an anaphylactic reaction to something, which we're guessing is peanuts, and it was just not good and threw the whole recording schedule off. And anyway, we were going to do it today, except Amanda got about 90 minutes of sleep because she was the one who finished up the emergency room stint. But, you know, one thing he said is they're like, do you want a teddy bear? And he said, yeah. They're like, do you want a limp? Listen to Limp Bizkit? And he said, fuck no. And then I realized that the nurse was Fred Durst. Okay, I'm joking about that last part, but.
Well, dude, he totally looks, if he put a lab coat on him right now and the glasses, he looks like a foot doctor.
A foot doctor.
Orthopedic surgeon.
A podiatrist.
Podiatrist.
So anyway.
A shady gynecologist.
But there will be.
Proctologist.
There will be an episode of Strahler's Family Secrets out just any day for the patrons. And maybe it's already out by the time you're getting this episode on Wednesday. But before I forget, after all that complaining, I was on this week's Rogue Rebels with Sal Perales and his lovely wife, Liz. And I'm just going to tell you something. She is brilliant. Oh my gosh. Her take on, like character motivation and all that stuff. She is so smart, man. It was amazing. It was such a good time. But anyway, check that out. It was a lot of fun. Those are some great people, man.
Oh yeah.
I was on Scruffy Looking Podcasters this week. So, and we've all been on
again.
There. Yeah. Jeez. And Chris Hall, he got me because I mentioned our Patreon show. And the whole rest of the time, he was making fun of me for like, well, this is the bad motivators. And just, it's a hilarious episode. He was roasting me pretty good. It was great.
Yeah, I think that's their fair thing to do is do different versions of roasting of us when we come on the show.
It's so weird though, like when you guys do guest appearances on podcasts, and I'm like, well, that wrecks my whole rotation of listening to them because I'm not going to listen. So it's like,
you have to listen to our asses every week.
What's going to fill this spot up? I guess I'm on podcast vacation.
Yeah, well, you know, we just need to torture you even more other that's than fair. Just one Monday a week. You know, that's just how we are. We can't help ourselves.
You're for punishment. To be honest, that's when Dallas and I bring out our most severe stuff about you because we know you're not going to fucking listen to it. That's, so it's all
that's
free.
That's fair. That's
it's
a good
all
point.
Free.
Facts. And there was some of that in this episode.
That's fine.
Well, okay. I'll tell you what it was. Ed said he pre-ordered something. And I'm like, you can't say that. Well, okay, maybe you can because Eric's not here to give you shit about it.
I don't know if you know this, but listen real close to the lyrics of this song. It very specifically says who got what. It doesn't say who's getting what or who's thinking of getting what.
Yeah, Ed Bosshart.
Or who wants what. It is called who got what.
Fantastic segue.
Do.
Who got what. So, yeah, it's right in the name. It's right in the name. But anyhow, who wants to be the who to tell the what that they got?
I'll go first. Now, I want to preference this with saying that I much prefer this situation.
You're
going to
preference
Eric's.
It with it? You're going to preference it?
Preface.
I'll accept that. That's better. My preference is that we just stop this right now.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Go on.
I know. No. I would much rather have my situation than what happened to Eric. He's low on sleep, folks. Eric's making faces and he's low on sleep.
What are you being, a slow metronome?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
See, I'm glad you understood what I was going for.
Yeah, tick. I thought so. You want me to speed up?
Tick. No, just tell the story. I'm just being silly. Okay.
He's just fucking with you.
Okay, so I don't know if the listeners know, but I have a boxer. He's about six. His name's Meat.
And Meaty boy.
Yep, he's named after Tim Robbins' character in Bull Durham. I actually put on his, like, at the vet, his full name, which is Ebby Calvin Nucle Meat Lelouch. And when they read it and they have to type it, it's so awesome. Anyway, so
Eric's wife would hate you.
Oh, she would. So his claw on his tip of one of his front paws had gotten infected because he'd been licking it.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had a couple treatments of antibiotics over the last year. just recently had it, and then we've been putting him in the tub and doing Epsom salts and all that. So we're really trying to take care of this problem. Well, it got down to like where it looked like a flesh-eating disease around this claw. Yeah. And he was starting to limp, and we're like, what the hell? So we took him to the vet last Monday when we recorded, but at that point I didn't know anything when we had recorded. And so the vet called us the next day, and they're like, we need to bring him in. We need to remove the tip of the toe. It's just so bad that if we don't do this, we just need to make sure that it's not an infection of some kind. But we think that if we can remove this, wrap it up, this will solve it. And you could tell there was a hint of that they weren't telling us the whole story, but we're like, okay, take him in. They do the blood work. They're like, yep, we're going to do it. They do the surgery. And then when we go to pick him up later that day on Tuesday, the doctor comes out. And like usually at this vet, the vet himself doesn't usually meet with us. We don't usually see him unless we're in the examination room with him. He doesn't come out and give us the dog and like post-surgery stuff. And he's like, yeah, we think this might be cancerous. And then I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? I'm like, because this dog's like my best friend. And I'm like crushed and like having all those feelings. Not like, I don't want to sit here and say a kid. It's equal to kid because it's not. But it's pretty, as close as you can get with an animal. And
raise him from a baby, especially.
Oh, yeah. I bought him when he was 6 weeks old. He came to live with us. Yeah. So anyway, or 8 weeks. Anyway, so they're like, do you want to pay for the pathology? Here's what it probably could be. But long story short, we don't know if it's cancer or not. We're going to find out this Wednesday. But they were pretty confident it isn't. But man, that was tough. I like can't say I went through everything Eric went through, but I got damn close this week. And I here's what the who I got in the who what was a $1,500 vet bill.
Jeez. Dang.
For removing a toe. Like prices have gone up. Let's just say if you're going to remove nuts on a dog, it's about $400. But if you remove the tip of a toe, because it's not his whole toe even. It's just the front bone. They have three bones in their toe.
Yeah.
But that anesthesia, damn, it's almost human level expensive now.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. Like that was most of it. Like reading through the itemized bill, I'm like, God, more than half of this is anesthesia.
Well, I mean, Eric, you went to emergency room, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a.
Oh, yeah.
That's an easy $5,000 right there.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you had like literally very little done for what? You know, you basically had like. What they would do for any kind of situation for that. Some IV and some EpiPen probably.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, yeah.
But when you don't know for sure, like you're not going to just start shoving shit to your kid. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly, man.
I mean, if it was something you had been dealt with and doctors have told you what to do in case this happens, that's another thing. It's another thing whenever they're just like, that's why I think it is. Self-diagnosis.
Yeah, dude, when right. a little kid is weeping and screaming at you that they need help and they, I need to go to the doctor, you take that kid immediately, man.
Yeah.
It was very scary. I mean, he was never in any danger. But it's
now still, you weren't at a children's hospital. I forgot to ask you that earlier.
No, we were at the local hospital. They called the children's hospital to see what it is they wanted him to do. But as long as it freaking took, it might have been easier if I just drove him all the way there in the first place. But well, it is what that it happened is, man. They did okay.
When Ainsley was a baby, we had a similar situation, and they ended up sending us to that children's hospital. So that's not always the most unwise move to go straight to the children's hospital. But it depends on how far away, you know, that's going to affect. Yeah. This is probably in St. Louis, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were here in Alton. But anyhow, enough of that. I don't want to talk about it anymore. It beat me up emotionally.
Sorry, man.
Anything, but,
sorry, man. So what'd you get?
Cruiser, you get anything?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. They weren't Star Wars related, but they're very important. Also, it was my son's birthday today. And we had his birthday party with his grandparents yesterday, and he came out like a bandit, all kinds of stuff. But what I got last week was two more certifications because I passed both of those exams. Oh, congrats, I've been cramming man. For fucking ever.
Good job, dude.
Yeah,
congrats,
dude.
Congrats, man.
And I want to say something about these tests. And like the last time I had this happen, I had to talk about the proctors, as they're called, the people that watch you while you take these tests. I had to take a picture of my entire desk. All my stuff has to be unplugged except for my computer and like all that, whatever. But I don't know if you can tell or not, but I've been kind of sick for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, like off and on. And like, so I had Kleenexes and cough drops next to me on my table. And I had taken it in the original picture. And then he's like, all right, he's like, can you hold up your camera on your computer and move around the desk like this so we can see that you haven't changed anything since you took your picture. So yeah, sure, fine. And I point down to the Kleenexes and stuff. He's like, what's that? I'm like, it's Kleenexes and cough drops. I've been sick and didn't want to cough the entire time over the whole thing. And he was like, I'm like, is that okay? He's like, you can have one Kleenex, but get rid of the rest. I was like, what?
Gee whiz, man.
I'm like, I didn't know the answers to cybersecurity tests were inside the wrappers of cough drops. Especially to questions that I couldn't possibly know that what questions are going to be because they're all randomized.
God,
so
dang.
It's just like,
either of you gentlemen ever tried to write notes on Kleenexes?
Yeah,
it's pretty impossible.
That would work, yeah,
yeah.
But like, lotion on them.
But I mean, it's just like, man, can't we be like human beings about one little thing? Like, I can take them up, rough them up, separate them one by one, and show you nothing on them. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm blowing my nose every 5 minutes, please. Nope. So that was a miserable hour and a half. But golly, both times I put both these tests, I thought that I had failed them initially, just because.
Oh, really?
It's the way like all the questions they have you study for. Are obviously going to be different questions you get on these exams to mm-hmm. certify that you can do something, but it's just the way they make sure they try to trick you in every possible way with the questions, the wording, and how it is and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
to be able to perceive your deductive reasoning skills. You know what I mean? Mm, yeah. But like, it's like, but you gave us 90 questions to do in like 90 minutes and like 7 or 8 of them are practical questions. And you think I'm going to have time to like really make sure, oh, they're tricking me this time. You know what I mean? Yeah. One of my modules failed while I was taking it. I'm like panicking, trying to message the proctor. Like, hey, can you pause this? Can you like give me 5 minutes back? I've been wasted trying to figure out what's wrong with this thing. And so they're like, no, we can't do that. So I had to skip them, keep going. It's crazy. Anyways, that's what I got. Exams. Awesome.
Dude, I hate it when on tests for something like that, they try to trick you with something that's not related to that. Like,
yeah.
I had to basically get all litigious with my high school physics teacher. It was junior year. It would have been advanced chemistry. And she essentially turned this thing into a freaking algebra test. And I'm like, look, when we say there's like no coefficient, for example, it obviously it's supposed to be 1, not 0. But I mean, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about chemical formulas, not the trickery of math on this, you asshole.
Yeah.
But she's dead now, so it's all good. Well, I'm just kidding. She's not.
Well, what's funny, Eric, is in that the exam I had about networking, there was like all the questions are randomized, but there was not one question about IP addressing for networking. Not one question in 75 questions. I don't know. Not one question about it.
Because that's kind of a big thing with it, right?
Here's something you might find interesting. Now, mind you, it's been 20 something years since I had to take my Missouri driver's test the written test when I got my Missouri driver's license. There are several questions on that test, or were at the time, about how much getting your second DUI costs. It's like,
what?
That was the questions on the test, because in there it tells you if you've you already had one DUI conviction and blah, blah, blah. It's almost like your classic physics question. A train leaves Pittsburgh going 30 miles an hour. It's like Billy leaves the bar going 15 over the speed limit and crashes into a trash can.
Weave it
turns
everywhere.
Out Billy's got, you know, two prior DUI convictions. What's his fine going to be? It's like, wouldn't you rather know if I understand what a yield sign means? Anyhow.
How to navigate a four-way stop.
Yeah. So
why'd you take a driver test?
Oh, I mean the written test. That was all I had to take. Whenever I got my, because I had an Illinois license, and then I moved to St. Louis in '98, and so I had to get my Missouri driver's license then. And so that's what it is. They wouldn't just take your Illinois license and give you a Missouri license, which is crap. Here's something else interesting you might not know for people who haven't lived in a state that does this. In St. Louis, all of the DMVs are franchises.
Wait, what?
Yep, they are not state employees standing in there. They're okay. McDonald's workers, basically. They are. It's a franchise. So that's not a state-run thing. It is a...
Yelp reviews for the DMV?
Wait. So... Eric's state has a profit-driven private DMVs, right? BMVs, whatever. Dallas has state-run liquor stores. Like, what the fuck?
Dude, this is no joke,
theocracy.
Man. So we had where the DMV was nearest me. The people who had the franchise lost it, and then somebody else got it. And it was in the same little like strip mall plaza, but in a different building. And so the people who lost it go out there and put a big sign that says the DMV is closed because they don't want anybody going to the new one. And I'm like, you shady turds.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a whole petty thing.
That's petty.
Yep. Anyway, that's your tax dollars at work. So here's what I got, because I forgot to mention this the last time I was on this show, even though I probably did get it in time for that. And I got the Armorer 6-inch Black Series that I had ordered from Hasbro Pulse.
Nice.
I think that's where I ordered it. But yeah, I got that. And she's cool. I would like to get that figure out and play with it, but I haven't yet. But soon I will. Also, I got my... Series 2 Elite Xbox controller. It is great.
Nice.
There's not a ton of difference between it and the Series 1. Not a ton. Yeah. But there's just enough.
I'll buy it for you from a discounted rate if you want.
No. Like being able to torque down the sticks.
Yeah.
There's something about taking the right stick for aiming and torquing it to its maximum so it's a little it fights you a little more. Way more headshots in Red Dead.
I agree.
Just telling you. I got that, and let's see, what else did I get? I went to Chicago this past weekend, not yesterday, which today's Monday, but the weekend before that. But it was Henry's birthday on Sunday. We went up there, we went to Legoland, and went to Field Museum, and saw Sue, the famous Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton. That is rad, if you've never seen
it. Oh, that is rad. That is rad.
Because they show you, here's the bones that are real. And here's the bones that they had to cast. Dude, 99% of that skeleton is straight up dug out of the ground. I mean, it is full on. The skull they have on the dinosaur itself is not the original skull. That's actually in a case that you can look at. But but yeah, dude, I mean, like little tips of things here and there, no recreated ribs, none of that. I mean, it is just a straight up T-Rex in the ground.
Crazy.
Go on, Mr. Wood.
You went to Chicago.
I did.
The listeners are dying to know who have been to Celebration Chicago. Did you make it to Portillo's?
Yes. Okay. So I messaged my good friend Claire, and she didn't see it until right after we had left the Portillo's. I'm like, okay, Claire, here's where I'm at. Which Portillo's should I hit? And I ended up hitting one. I just, you know, it was right along the interstate. But dude, let me tell you something. We are never taking a vacation again. If anybody saw my tweet that said the easiest way to enjoy taking two young kids on a family trip is to just not go at all, that was because of this. Dude, when we left Field Museum, it was hot. okay, I'll admit it. I have never heard so much bitching in my, like I told Stella, I'm just go lay down in the grass and I'm leaving. Just good luck. I hope you remember what your address is. By the way, we just moved. I bet you don't have it memorized. Dude, I mean, it was not cool. But it was still a good time, man. It was good to get away. It was a whirlwind, you know. We finally decided to do it. We jumped in the car. We got there late at night, stayed in a hotel, went to Legoland, which the Legoland there, pretty neat. Slightly less stuff in it than the Kansas City Legoland. And here's what's sad. It's right in one of these like outdoor air malls that, much like every other mall in the United States, has floundered and turned into a tumbleweed factory. Mm-hmm. Because, oh, dude, that's so sad to see all that beautiful real estate. But anyway, yeah, they didn't have a ton of Star Wars stuff there, though. Oh, which reminds me, I did get a Mandalorian, it's the Trouble on Tatooine Lego set at Legoland. So it was full retail. It's a speeder bike with Mando on it and the baby. It was pretty neat. I haven't built it yet though, but I will.
I'm sure you have four or five more you need to build too. Yeah,
dude. Oh, so hey, I came up with a great idea. Here I am moving, right? And I got all these Lego builds that I want to keep mostly intact. You know, well, it's not like I'm going to encase every one of them in foam, and because no matter what, something's going to happen. But I also don't want to find a bunch of individual boxes to put each one in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So pieces are going to fall off, but I don't want them getting intermingled. Well, what I did is I have this big roll that, I mean, I've had it for 10 plus years because I got it whenever Amanda and I moved, of commercial grade Saran wrap.
Yeah.
And laid it down and I put each set in one and just wrapped it in Saran wrap. Completely sealed up and then put it in a box. Put the next one in. That way when pieces fall off, they're combined to the set they go with.
Yeah.
I'm a visionary, sir. A visionary.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's great.
Sounds beautiful.
But anyhow, oh, hey, here's something interesting. A friend of mine is, you know what? Yeah, I'll tell you. He's the youth pastor at my kid's school.
Okay.
Real good dude, man. He is big into Star Wars, and he's also big into Taylor Swift, so he's doubly cool.
Oh, so he meets your standards.
Yes, exactly.
For teaching your children.
Yeah, maybe like, you should try.
Seriously, I think if you were to apply for a nanny, it would say, do you like Taylor Swift and do you like Star Wars?
In that order, actually.
In that order.
Because I can forgive one, but not the other. Yeah, but anyway, Pastor Tim, man, he messaged me today. And you know what he says? Have you ever heard of Saga Toys? And I'm like, my friend, I have indeed. So yeah, I actually need to make a trip there because I haven't been there in forever. But he went to Saga Toys and experienced it in all its glory.
Wow.
And he basically said, unsolicited, I could have easily spent $1,000 in that place.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
you can max a credit card in there pretty easily.
Oh, yeah, dude. So Saga Toys, located in South St. Louis County, around the corner from Home Depot and Hooters now.
Oh, but Hooters survived COVID. Nice.
I think it did. I haven't been down there in forever, so maybe it didn't.
Somehow on my TikTok For You page, Hooters, like with babies sitting in a high chair in a Hooters, like watching the ladies, you know, nursing babies, like that has become a TikTok thing. And I'm like, what the hell? How many of these videos are there? They're hilarious. I watch every single one of them, but their faces as they see, because you can tell they're not looking for pretty girls.
Well, anyway, so that is what I got.
You got quite a bit. You saved who got what, let's be honest.
Well, skipping a week helped.
Dude, I passed up three Phantom Menace 20th anniversary or no 50th anniversary labeled figures today at Best Buy when we went let Max pick out a game for his birthday.
What did he pick?
He picked oh my god, Hyrule Warriors Calamity, something like that.
Huh.
Yeah, anyways. Have you ever played Devil May Cry?
No.
No, sir.
No. Anyways, it's like this hack and slash, like very rapid, like lots of enemies at once, killing game where you're moving around, stuff like that. It's like that. It's like that, but Zelda. Anyways.
There was like a samurai game like that on PS2. I can't remember what it's called. Where you like took your samurai horde and fought the Chinese with the Japanese. It was like a whole thing, like battlefield management game. Sounds like that.
Well, no, it's one dude, just a superpowered dude, just like wiping out waves of people. Anyways, it's a lot of animated fun. But yeah, I went there and they had the Mace Windu, they had the B1, and they had Jar Jar all in that and packaging. And I was like, I looked at it, considered it heavily, mostly considered Jar Jar, and I was like.
You did the right thing, man.
You did, because the logo isn't that cool. And
no, it's fucking horrible. I'm sorry whoever made it. I'm sorry. It's bad. It's bad.
I'm not a graphic designer. You are. And I think it looks like bad graphic design.
It looks like it's stock art, is what it looks like.
Yeah. Like they should have just left the print from, like, you know, the website they ripped it off. That's like shadowed in the background. What do they call that?
Exactly.
So speaking of video games, real quick. Obviously, I still play a lot of Red Dead Online, but I started playing Yakuza 0, based off a recommendation that Steve and Hawes on the High Potion podcast. If you're not listening to it, it's great. They talked about that game, dude. It's so good. But I got to tell you, I spent way too long playing the claw machine in the Sega arcade in that game, and also playing all the stupid old Sega arcade games like Outrun. And it's like if Amanda comes down here, she would probably rather find me watching porn than playing a goddamn claw machine on the Xbox, you know, at 2 in the morning. Why aren't you in bed? I'm trying to get this damn frilled exposed lizard doll
that I don't need for this character's motivation.
Yeah. That was me with bowling on GTA 5.
Oh, bowling
bowling on GTA 5?
Dude, fuck yeah.
Dude, bowling and golf, man.
Yeah.
I've never done either on that game.
One thing I am going to do, though, is because it keeps coming up, I'm starting a new website, and I'm trying to come up with something a little more abbreviated, but the gist of I'm going for, and if anybody can help me with a domain name for this, but it's pronunciationmistakesbyhaws.com I'm working on. So if you guys could help me out with that, I would really appreciate it if anybody's got any ideas.
Hawes flaws.
Hawes flaws. There you go.
Oh,
that's good. You should just call it that.
Oh, Hawes, my God, flaws. Dude. Oh, that would be something else, man.
Hawesflaws.com.
Yep, that's what it's going to be. I should register that domain right now. I should just do it right now while we're talking, but I can't because my credit card's probably got a freeze on it after pre-ordering that Luke Skywalker hot toys.
Dude, that thing looks so good.
It does look really good, man. For people who aren't keen on the collecting, Hot Toys makes some amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah, I got the full-size Grogu that it's breathtaking. I know that sounds dramatic, but it's true. It's breathtaking. But their 6-scale figures are amazing. And I know I've famously talked about it that I've never opened my Luke on crate, but I will someday. And now this Luke on episode, was it 8 of the second season of The Mandalorian? It was eight and eight, right?
I can't remember if it was 8 or 9.
Whatever the last episode, the season finale of season 2 of The Mandalorian, when Luke shows up and fulfills all of our dreams. Yeah, it's neat. It is super neat. Cruiser, are you going to get that, you think? It doesn't come out. They're not expecting it to ship until October through December of 2022, which means if it's anything like this Grogu was, that it'll be like July of 2023.
Yeah. This one has me severely tempted. It looks so good, and they did a great job of taking what they did with The Mandalorian and then incorporating their own stylized Mark Hamill on the figure. So, like, they're all combining those two elements. Because I don't think he looks quite the same as, like, his other Hot Toys figures. Uh-huh. Slightly different to kind of match what they did on the show. But – and I love that the deluxe version comes with that Crush robot and the and Grogu and, like, his elevator that he comes out of. And it looks – it's $330. So, I mean, at the end of the day. So – but I do think, though – as far as collecting goes, I think the only thing I've said it before, but it's kind of a realization that come true to me now. The only thing I'm really going to buy in the future is stuff like that. Instead of buying a bunch of little stuff, buy the nice items every once in a while, you know? And I think that Hot Toy, man, but ever since I canceled my order on that Darth Maul, I've been like less hyped about Hot Toys and stuff. Cause I'm like, if I could cancel that, I don't have to get anything, you know?
Right.
Like I wanted that one so bad. And I was like, man, it's a bad time to get this. So that's why I wanted to pay for it whenever I first ordered it. It's cause when I had the money ready to go for it, there would have been no fucking worries when it showed up.
Dude, I will say this. There are a lot of things where it's like exactly like the thing with the Luke on Crate Hot Toys. I was dying to have that. Yeah. And then I got it and I looked at it and it is neat. And I have yet to take it out of the box. And it's not because it's not cool, but you suddenly realize, man, I didn't need this.
You could sell it for more than you paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing about a Hot Toy. At least if you get it and it's in your possession, you don't have to worry about if that money's coming back. Because if you decide you don't want to own it anymore and you keep the box in immaculate shape, you're fine. You'll get more than what you paid for it back. It's insane. That Dooku, not Dooku, that Yoda where he's pulling the saber out of the clone trooper one that I've wanted coveted for years. I'm not paying $700 for it when I know it was $330 originally.
It looks like you could get about $400 for it right now.
Wow.
You can pay for your new one.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Honestly, I got to say.
Selling Lukes to buy Lukes.
this is the first Luke in a while that has tempted me to buy one.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, as you were talking, Luke, and you're talking about canceling that mall, I'm like, it's not a Lando. It has to be a Lando. I don't have a Lando Hot Toy. I need one at some point. But
well, speaking of Luke. And getting the behind the scenes, that's the word I'm looking for, thank you, behind the scenes picture of what we're going to see in the what do they call the documentary, the docuseries that's going to be one episode?
Oh,
Disney Gallery, making of the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's Disney Gallery.
How did that feel? What did you think about that? Seeing Mark Hamill holding little Grogu, wearing the cloak. What do you think it all means? How do you think that equates to what we actually saw on screen? Any ideas?
Now, Luke's got one, but real quick, I think he was just in that last scene. Like, if his body was used for the CG at all, it was in that very end as Grogu gets handed to him before he gets in the elevator. Like, a portion of that. Maybe not even the whole thing. But the other dude... I guarantee you did all the lightsaber work for that CG because he moved really precisely, quickly, and effortlessly, like someone who is young, much younger than Mark Hamill.
Yeah, Now that we kind of talk about it again, I thought about it. Like it makes sense because when they had that shot of him right there, like it was about chest up, like of his profile. So
yeah.
I can see them being able to make some small tweaks and whatever else to Mark Hamill, besides his complete restriction of his face, obviously, and being able to. So it's because he's saying all like new sentences and shit, right? So, I mean, like words that not spliced together without any. So they need to be able to capture his mouth there. But
yeah, from what I understand, that was his voice.
Oh, it's definitely his voice, but like the, when I saw that picture of him standing there, it still didn't make me feel like that's what I saw in the end. Even just from his body wise,
I thought it was. I thought it could be, but we'll find out. That's the best part. It's kind of
maybe it probably is, but I mean, I feel like if they were to capture his mouth, he would have had dots and shit on his face.
Maybe they don't need it anymore because, like, when you use like Snapchat, you don't have dots on your face.
I don't use Snapchat. I'm not that cool.
I don't either, but I have children who do, and I have teenagers in my house.
Yeah,
I don't know how that works. I mean, because one thing they do is when they do ADR, you look at the mouth and you just synchronize your speaking to it. It may take you a few tries, but that's essentially what they end up doing. And so doing that with a different actor wouldn't be like the end of the world when you see the final product. But like for Mark Hamill to speak the lines at the exact same time, the stand-in or whoever like moved his mouth, you know what I mean?
I still contend that that stand-in who they brought in to play young Mark Hamill, you could have done some slight medical adjustments, makeup adjustments on his face, and maybe just a toy with the CGI just a little bit. And you're not far off from what Mark Hamill looks like. That dude looks a lot like him. I feel like they could have pulled it off, and like in it, and then still used his voice if they wanted to, and it would have been a little bit cleaner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's when you see it. It's in his face, when his mouth, when he's talking. That's when you really notice it.
Yeah, part of it is because he does the thing that my sister does, where she tries to barely move her mouth when she talks, which I'm not sure what that's about. She talks like this, so I don't know why. It's like, are you a ventriloquist? your voice is still coming out of your face. You're not fooling anybody. But I don't know. I mean, did you guys last week, did you talk about the dude who did the deep fake of that scene getting hired? One thing that just burns my ass is when they say he fixed it.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything that needed to be fixed in the first place. You know what I mean? He may have refined it or attempted to refine it. It's all beauty is in the eye of the beholder kind of thing.
He also ran an AI like to make adjustments based off of other imagery and stuff combined from the internet and everything else to like visualize what Mark Hamill was supposed to look like in that scene with his textured on his face and everything else. I'm not saying it's not a skill. I'm just saying like the people who originally made the CGI of that did way more work than that guy did. So I mean, like it's just.
but anyhow. That just reminded me of it. All I can tell you is this. I still think about how I felt the first time watching that.
Yeah.
And how great it was. When you see that X-Wing cruising by that window and you know what's getting ready to happen and then everything happens and it's somehow even better than you imagined it was going to be.
I bawled like a baby.
Dude. That, so good.
That's one of the few times I've bawled during Star Wars. I don't know why. I'm just not a crier. But yeah, that moment had me.
There had never been a reason more that I'd stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning for was to watch that.
Yeah,
so I didn't get any chance to get it spoiled for me, the final episode.
It was a pro-level move, it turned out.
That was the only one. I had to get up at like 7 the next day, too. I went to bed at like 4:30 because I was so freaking amped up. Worth it. 2.5 hours of sleep. Fuck yeah, let's go.
Dude,
let's
that's me on gig nights, man. Oh, my God. Yep.
Bro, we've been to a celebration where you didn't sleep for 3 days, so I'm convinced you are like an android or some shit.
I tell you what, man, it's caught up to me now. I have a harder time doing it. If I sit down, I'm in trouble. Like, I can stay up and play Xbox as long as I'm occupied.
Yeah.
But if I just sit down and, like, if I decide I'm going to read, for example, later, I'm going to fall asleep. Night. And what's
watch
bad
a movie,
is, like,
see you later.
Yeah, I always read on my Kindle now. And so I really have to force myself to sit up more in bed instead of holding it up above me, because, dude, I will fall asleep and drop that thing on my face or wherever else. And like, I'll drop it. Like, some of the times I would drop it and it would end up falling on the floor and scare the crap out of me and Amanda. And she's like, why don't you just go to sleep? I'm like, I'm not tired. It's just, I can't.
This reminds me of those TikToks where they're showing somebody do something supernatural or superhuman or freaky, and they go, God mode initiated, but for you, it's grandpa mode initiated.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah.
My grandpa would sit down and fucking fall asleep in seconds. Anytime his ass hit a chair that was comfy, out.
You know what the problem is with that falling asleep thing? Like, because I'm like Eric, I get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night just because I stay up and have to get up early. I just can't.
We're all that way.
But like the falling asleep, like sit down in a chair at like 5 o'clock at night, or like, you know, right before dinner or right after dinner or whatever. Sit in the chair, you get comfortable, you're watching something, and it doesn't matter what it is. Most of the time, like within about 20 minutes, my eyes are heavy and I'm just like, man, I should really sleep more. But the problem, what I found and I realized is like I have sleep apnea, so I have to sleep with the, I forgot what it's called, sleep apnea machine on my face. And when I fall asleep now, like without it on, like randomly in places, I wake up in the middle part of sleep apnea is where you quit breathing in your sleep. So I'll end up waking up now when I'm not breathing, and I'll have like a panic moment where I can't breathe, and I have to my body feels paralyzed, and I have to like kind of like force my brain into consciousness to breathe again. It's terrifying, and it's happened like more and more recently as my body gets more and more used to that CPAP machine. It's crazy, dude.
My father has it like you bad. He had a knee surgery 9 or 10 years ago after he had just first been diagnosed with it, and he was coming out of the anesthesia, and nobody told the doctors he had sleep apnea, and he started to like stop breathing, and the heart machine, it was freaky, dude. And I finally said to the doctor, he has sleep apnea, can you get a machine on it? Oh, okay. And you're like, oh my God, what are you wrong with you people?
I'll never forget Eric Strahler's Orlando Star Wars Celebration. Orlando. Yeah, when you were sleeping, it sounded like you were dying.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. I could have used a little shake awake.
Well, so I had to use a CPAP for a while, and I still have it. And I was like, I feel like I'm snoring quite a bit. I wonder if I'm having any like apnea issues. And so I busted it out. But dude, like the art of being able to keep your mouth closed is a trick, because what would happen is in my sleep, I would open my mouth. Well, and it just starts this loop of all that air blasting straight out your mouth and you can't breathe. It's like, this thing sucks. But I'm going to tell you something. And people are like, oh, here comes this is the grandpa edition. I've had an issue with snoring. And so I got this mouth guard that just cants your lower jaw forward a little bit. Changed my life. I sleep all the way through the night. No problem. I don't wake up and find Amanda gone in the mornings. I mean, I do, because she has to get up for work before me, but not for other reasons, you know?
Yeah.
But anyhow. So, okay. When does the Disney Gallery thing hit? When can
the end
we
of
watch
this month? That? Like August 30th or something, I think.
Okay.
29th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The other big thing on Disney Plus, obviously, was this week's episode of The Bad Batch. And we only got two left. And I haven't heard anything if like the last episode's gonna be super long, like the way the first one was. Or not, or if we just expect two more normal length episodes. But man, this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's seen it, obviously. So we're not going to, you know, we're not going to pretend.
By the time this release is 2 days away from the new one.
We're not going to pretend like we're not going to spoil it for you if you haven't. So I don't know what to tell you. But one of the biggest things for me on this one, just visually, how great it looked. I mean, they've all looked great, but it just like keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, they turned it up a notch for this one.
Yeah, the Sal and I.
This is called War Mantle.
War Mantle. Yeah.
Or was it War Mantle? Warhammer.
War Mantle. You're right.
Yeah.
So it was so good, man. Sal and I were talking about how, like, just the sunlight through the trees and all of that stuff. But the thing that really struck me was the callbacks in the soundtrack.
Oh, we talked about this on Scruffy this week, how the music in this episode was not only the best of the series, it was by far and away the best.
You know, they had the running down the hallways music cues, but they also had that one cue that you heard in dun, 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 that one in that's only in A New Hope, and it's like, golly, you forget how great that is. And it's all just in there so subtly. It was extremely well done. And it was so perfect for the people who noticed it. It wasn't like so fan servicey that it's like, hey, remember this? But it just suited the moment.
It was just enough and it was the right amount.
Yeah.
Every time they used it. And I especially loved how there was some kind of funny things about this episode. So the base is inside a mountain. How James Bond was that whole setup?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
I loved it. When I say this, it's with love. And just kind of a lot of James Bondy feels to this episode with their base. And those troopers, I never really could figure out, are those kind of like the Imperial version of the First Order mountain troopers? Like they were a Ralph McQuarrie callback totally to the, you know, but I mean, like, it was a little different in that way. I mean, I don't even know what they called these troops.
They were the first TKs.
Yeah.
So they're just the first TKs with that. So basically what the canon is now, the Ralph McQuarrie visual art, pre-production visual art is now, you know, the first TKs were wearing this first TK armor.
Yeah, that was
No, wait. I think you're thinking of the ones that are like the Republic Commando one. You thinking of that guy?
In the base, like they just had these different looking troopers in the base.
Are you talking about the ones that have like the like different colors on them?
No, they were all white for the most part.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, he's talking about because there is, you know, the it was more McQuarrie like in the concept art for the troopers and the way the helmets were shaped.
Yeah,
like with the down tubes and the way the dome of it was shaped.
Mm-hmm. And the eyes, the lenses were like slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I did think it was cool to see the commandos too.
Yeah.
That was, they're so neato bonito, man. But I really enjoyed the episode. I thought that the amount of gravity in basically everything that happened from Rex at the beginning, where do you think he is? When he's like, oh, God, got to go. And he's, you know, runs out of the frame of the Skype call blasting.
Well, when we find Rex in Rebels, he's with Gregor, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So do you think he's maybe getting the other cat? Who was that other dude that
Wolf,
was with
Wolf.
Him? Wolf. Yeah. So you think maybe he's off getting Wolf and that's how the three of them end up together after this whole deal?
Maybe. That's a good question.
I learned something about Wrecker in this episode. If you need a tail gunner, that motherfucker don't miss.
Well, I mean, that would be his role on that ship, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I want Han Solo to find Wrecker and put him in the Falcon because, like, that guy's going to nail some TIE fighters.
And I tell you what, that dude can roll with the punches, too. Like, he's sitting there. They're like, they're like, go back to the ship and wait for us. He's like, all right. And then, Omega's getting all annoyed about not going and, like, you know, making sure they're okay. He's like, ah, they're okay. Oh, they're all right. Oh, I'm sure it's all right. He's just like,
dude, wasn't like, it totally like the us most with patient our kids?
Child I've ever seen in my life. Oh, but, right? You know.
Wasn't it sometimes with our kids? Because I'm kind of that way with my kids when they were little. That totally reminded me with how I was with my son when I was little. Like,
it just depends on how much they're asking the same question over and over again. How long my coolness lasts.
I'm talking 7 years old to 10 years old. That's a sweet spot age.
Dude, that thing with the whole how Yoda, if parents can relate, he just Mark Hamill or Luke Skywalker was asking him so many questions, he just decides to go ahead and die. Because he's dying. I'm like, good Lord, I get that. But anyhow. But I loved the just the whole idea of this base of the way they're breaking in there and not considering the fact that the clone codes aren't going to work anymore. Mm-hmm. And But what really strikes me, so we get to the part that, of this that really matters, where they get out with Gregor and Hunter gets left behind.
Yeah.
And falls, and you know, I thought, man, he's going to eat it. They're going to kill him right here. This is going to suck. But the way the voice acting between all of it, especially with Omega, the way she's yelling at him, tell him to come back right now. You do it right. It just, dude, it was so intense. And the way they built on that and how real it felt was so good. It was so, so good. And
by far and away. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. And I have zero, like, there's nothing I would have changed about any of that. And then to have Butt for Magoo show up and get. So
I don't know, fucker.
I don't know what to think about that because he shows up to get him out of the cell. Crosshair shows up to get Hunter out of the cell and doesn't shackle him, doesn't anything, just. He doesn't have a gun on him, you know, drawn on him. I mean, he doesn't have his gun out and he shows up and he's like, I was hoping for the whole squad, but you'll do. What do you think's going to happen? What do you think's going to happen next?
I've watched the episode three times. And when that scene happens, I can't help but think if they want to save Crosshair, this is the first step to showing us how that works in two episodes that we have left, right? Because we have two or three left.
Two.
Okay. So if they're going to do that, this is the beginning of that setup. But if they decide to not do that and something completely different and surprise us, cool. But if that's where they're going with this finale, then this is the beginning of that. Somehow that's going to end up him coming back to, you know, Clone Force 99.
I don't know.
It all depends if there's going to be another season or not, to be honest with you. Kind of hard to tell how that would go. It could, if there's going to be another season, you could very easily see it going to where they don't get him back this season. You know what I mean? Or he could just somehow snap out of it at least for a second to fight it enough to like die for them to escape or something. Like I feel like Crosshair's not making it out this year. That's what I think.
I can see it going that way.
I feel like they have to lose one of them, and they've been without him the entire time. But would it be more of an emotional impact if it was Hunter that died and Crosshair lived? You know what I mean? Yeah.
I would hate that. I don't want to see any of them go.
Yeah. That's like letting Joe Don, who's the name of the sheriff in Rambo First Blood, letting him live and they kill Rambo. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Who's the actor that plays that sheriff in Rambo First Blood? Is that Joe Don? No, that's not Joe Don.
Was Baker. That? Dude, I haven't seen it in so long, but wasn't it Brian Dennehy?
Brian Dennehy. That's like letting Brian Dennehy's character live and not Rambo.
Was that who it was?
Yes, it was Brian Dennehy. You're 1,000% right. Good job.
But oh my God, that's such a crazy comparison because, you know, Hunter is plainly Rambo. But
right? And he had a Rambo moment near the river and that whole thing, right? That was kind of Rambo-y, dude. Like in First Blood. We were talking about this on Scruffy's. It felt Rambo-y.
I was just waiting for the painfully clunky Vietnamese girl to say, Rambo, you not expendable. I mean, that the actress who did that probably was just cringing. I cannot believe you're making me say this. This is the worst.
Had zero accent.
You're setting my people back. This is no good. But anyhow.
Not the Rambo I was referencing, the first one, not
right. Yeah, that was this. The one I was talking about was First Blood Part 2.
Yeah,
but
I'll never get that title. That makes me chuckle every time I hear it.
Right? It's so ridiculous and clunky.
Second Blood, First Part Blood One
again.
Like, why can't it just be Rambo 2? Like, what the fuck?
Well, it's because the problem is that
First Blood for a second.
They didn't call the first one Rambo.
True.
It was just called First Blood.
Yeah,
and that's where they went wrong. And what they should have done is A New Hope it. And just started calling it Rambo 1, First Blood.
Yeah.
And then Rambo 2, Second Blood Part 1.
Second, The Blood Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And then Return of the Blood for that Afghanistan one.
Yeah. So
Revenge of the Blood 20 years later.
Yeah. With the phantom bludgeonness.
Oh, my gosh.
Attack of the Blood.
Attack of the Bloods. Blood Awakens.
The Last Blood.
Oh, man. Remember when
Rise
people,
of the Blood Walker.
Remember when people used to listen to this show? So do you think that Crosshair is... Okay, basically, this is a two-part question. Do you think he's going to become a good guy again before the end of this season? And do you think he'll live through the season? Those are the two big questions.
I can answer it in one response.
Go ahead.
He's going to die as soon as he snaps out of it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen very close to each other.
That's kind of what I'm feeling too, man.
They're not telegraphing it, but that's the vibe. I feel they're floating out there. That they're just setting up,
or like you can very easily see the last thing he says is "I'm sorry."
Maybe go something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, if they do the unspeakable and Hunter dies and Crosshair ends up back with the group, it's kind of like the whole thing we talked about with Kylo Ren. My bad. It's one of those deals where sure you ultimately can't help your behavior. So this is something that we talked about in a big way on Rogue Rebels. And that was, all right, how exactly does the inhibitor chip work? Because you get to where you see what's his name from Ryloth. What was that clone's name that basically Hunter. No, that's the other guy's name. Help me out.
I can't remember Hauser. What you're talking about, though.
Hauser, okay. Where he's like, hey, guys, this is wrong. Who's with me on this? Well, plainly, he would have had the inhibitor chip, too, right?
Yeah.
So at what point, like, how does it work? I realize, they had the scene where they are, like, tweaking on Crosshairs more after, he's with the bad guys and all that. But what exactly is its function? Because it seems like, man, he was kind of a butthole from the start.
I'll tell you what it is. They get on their smartphone, go to Facebook News, and then it interacts with the inhibitor chip.
You know what the difference is, Eric? Is I think whenever Crosshair first got like affected by it was when they were in the presence of Jedi. That's when it like clicked in. Uh-huh. And then it showed that his brothers were helping the Jedi escape.
Right.
And stuff like that. And
yeah.
It's the same thing happened with Wrecker, but they stopped it. So like with these guys, with that clone, he doesn't have the kill Jedi on sight thing because it's over. You know what I mean? Like it's not there's no Jedi there to like make his inhibitor chip like make him
light up big time. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. I kind of hope that he and Hunter just instantly start fist fighting in the beginning of this next episode.
But yeah.
I guess we'll see. But again,
it pans up, which is a pool of blood on the floor. And they're just pounding each other for like a last hour.
You look down and there's a pool of blood and a toothpick. Yeah. And, I can't possibly applaud enough the voice work in this episode, but by the actress who plays Omega, I'm sorry, I don't know what her name is. And with all the clones, just all of that was so good.
Rika. Yeah. And it's one dude.
Yeah. Yeah. that was just excellent. It was just excellent. And
I got to say, this is my favorite one.
Yeah, I would concur with that.
Only way it would be ruined is if what you're talking about with Hunter and Crosshair doesn't happen and they go with something like they have to arm wrestle in a bar while, Hunter's kid watches.
Yeah.
Over the top.
That's a great reference, man.
Thank you.
By the way, that movie is awful.
It is awful.
he just flying in his fighter plane, just like doing his arm workouts. Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny to think about the stuff that like started a very brief trend.
Uh-huh.
Of like the arm wrestling that became a thing for a while. Yeah. Just that's what a time we live
Thank
in.
Thank you, Sly Stallone, for making arm wrestling popular.
There was so many competitions about things we didn't know were competitions in the 80s and early 90s, like arm wrestling that wasn't a big like spotlighted thing. The Nintendo fucking battle gaming thing with the wizard, you know.
Oh yeah, Fred Savage.
Yeah, and then like Karate Kid and all that shit. Like there's all kinds of championships to be won where you're the coolest thing ever. And the scenes are always set the exact same way with like the epic shadowed lighting. Like,
dude, Karate Kid is the finest cinematic masterpiece and storytelling masterpiece of all time.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's kind of what inspired that whole thing.
Well, if you want to copy a movie, man, Karate Kid is the one. And if you want to see an excellent, excellent episode of Community, watch the one where they do the the stage production of the Karate Kid, when the actor or the director of it is Dennis Feinstein. It's it's something else, man. Anyhow. Yeah, I think this was my favorite episode so far. And I know we've talked about this before and I feel like a broken record, but I did not expect to love The Bad Batch the way I do and to care about the characters the way I do. I did not expect that to happen at all. And I'm very pleasantly surprised by it.
They're not letting us down. They're giving us high quality animation. For the most part, it from week to week, even the more slower kind of nonsensical episodes are still entertaining. And you're getting a little bit of slice of that era that, you know, after the prequels, you know, after watching Revenge of the Sith, you're kind of wondering what's going down and blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of fun to see like the Empire kind of fuck everybody over and like why the rebellion kind of began out of all this. Cause they're clearly like telling that story in little snippets in each of these episodes, especially when they go, you know, with Cham Syndulla and Hera and all that, you know, they're giving us a lot of that. They go just overall, like this series, I didn't have any expectations for it, but I didn't think I would like it this much. I don't know if I'm getting that same vibe from you two.
Yeah.
I agree with you guys. It's great. I will say one thing we didn't mention that's kind of interesting is that the Empire basically in a way let it know they're probably getting ready to nuke Kamino. So that's,
oh yeah, we didn't come back to that. Killing the head clone guy.
Yeah.
Or the
we have a use for a scientist.
Prime Minister.
Yeah. We don't have any use for a politician, I believe was the line.
And they took away his head scientist to help Omega escape and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And paid to make sure she stayed escaped.
You think she's going to the western reaches of the galaxy?
I think it's very obvious that they're going to have her be somehow involved with all that Palpatine shit in some way. They're going to hint at it one way or another.
Yeah, that's kind of what happen. I was wondering. Or even the whole, like, where does Grogu come into the picture with the cloner people that, you know, the doctor who was taking the bloods, you know, had him in that machine.
Dr. Pershing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes sense that the reason why they'd have a human cloning doctor because they probably killed the rest of the Kaminoans.
Oh, totally. 1,000%. Except for
the head doctor and probably a couple other ones that they don't have to do out field work anymore, you know?
Well, if you recall back to Rise of Skywalker, you know, it's always been implied in the EU and since Disney took over that the Empire was not pro-alien, right?
Yeah.
So when you go back to the Rise of Skywalker, the Final Order is all humans. The Acolytes are all humans. You know what I mean? So that falls perfectly in line with all of that stuff. But back to the politician getting killed, I want to point something out that I felt, and I mentioned this on Scruffy's, and I'm curious if you two felt the same way. When they shut the doors and he's in there with the two clones, were you expecting to hear blaster fire?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed they didn't just let us have it, but maybe because they're trying to keep it on the more PG side, I don't know.
Or maybe because they didn't kill him.
They've done, but they've had like guys get shot through the heart.
Yeah.
Like in plain view, so I don't know why. Yeah, maybe they didn't kill him.
They'd have no wrong with that bluegill fin having...
Oh, yeah. What is that all about? When he was young, did he go to like a punk bar in New York one time? And he thought, the Mohawk, I'm going to work with that the rest of my life.
Hey, it just reminds me of the sharp spines on a bluegill is what it reminds me of.
Speaking of blue, why do you think the Bad Batch were using the stun setting on their blasters against the clones and TKs?
They've been doing it the whole time, for the most part, it seems.
I think they still feel a connection to their brothers. And maybe they're like subconsciously holding out hope that they could be saved somehow from their situation. So they don't want to kill them.
And I did think it was cool how their reaction when the helmet came off the guy. And they're like, oh, man, he's not a clone.
Yeah.
And that's when they tell him, oh, yeah, they've got all these crazy, rabid We Heart the Empire fans out there that are dying to join the army. And they're going to be our replacements.
We're forgetting a huge little nugget in this episode. Gregor says he's not teaching them all everything. He makes a reference at one point. He says he's not teaching them everything. So is he not teaching them to shoot? Because that would be hilarious.
Yeah, there's just some things he might just kept to himself. I think it might. I don't necessarily think it would be called back at any point. It might just be this for that one moment when he did something that they couldn't counter. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably in the finale, that's a setup.
I don't know.
Oh, it was. If it ends up being what I first said it was, that's funny. But if it doesn't, no big deal.
Now, do you think that? And I've heard several other podcasts mention the same thing. Do you think we're headed for a symbol? Everybody that they've met along the way for the big final battle. It's like we got to get Rex in here. We got to get everybody that we've come in contact here. Like Roland, is he going to be back to help them fix this Hunter situation?
Maybe. It's hard to say. I mean, honestly, they've kind of set this up to where they haven't telegraphed much of what they're going to do with it. So it's kind of fun to anticipate what we're going to see because it hasn't really been a whole lot spoiled or anything like that.
I think Cid's going to help them.
Oh,
get Hunter back. Like she's going to call in some favors.
Yeah, I suspect that she'll be involved in that fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, they do make a point earlier in the season that Omega has paid off their debt, and then shortly later, they help Cid get back her bar in the previous episode before this one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they are kind of setting that up. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Who knows? I'm sure it's going to be cool, though.
Yeah, whatever they do, man.
Regardless, it's been a great show.
So there's a new High Republic book out this week, and I haven't even barely scratched the surface of the one that Kevin Scott's book that came out at this point, like, what, 4 weeks ago?
No,
maybe 6 weeks ago.
No clue. Didn't even know that one came out.
Yeah. So far, it's good, but I've barely read it. But this new one that came out, Justine Ireland's book, I haven't taken a single peep at it, so I don't know what it's about, but I've heard good things. So you still into the books, Cruiser? Of course, I know you've been slammed.
I read the first one, and now I'm through the Higher Republic one. Got through that one by halfway through the second one, but I want to, because I want to understand what's going on with the High Republic, but it's just trying to divide the time between other things that I like to do. So
I do understand. I definitely
right like now, eat and sleep.
Right now, my entertainment allotment time is taken up by Xbox Series X. So it's a lot more fun to play stories than read them.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Speaking of video games, watching those TikToks of people kill racists on Red Dead Online is fun. Anyway.
Yeah. Have you seen that yet, Eric?
No.
Yeah, like they're like a whole group of people who like get together, I guess, to like hang out as Ku Klux Klan members. And like it's either that or it's like set up. It's probably set up, but like I like to imagine that it's real. And like this dude will come in with like exploding arrows and like breaking up their parties and shit.
Like doing amazing like knife kills and hatchet kills and
yeah,
like this dude, I would not want to run into him on Red Dead Online based on how I've seen how good he is at murdering other people.
Yeah, he'll go in with an exploding arrow tip that like blows up like five or six of them in like this big explosion of bodies going everywhere.
Dude, there are some pretty racist buttholes in that game, or at least they think they're being edgy because their gamer tags are very much conveying the racist slant, or you'll see their posse name because they can get away with a lot more of that. Their posse name will be something super racist. And man, it's always, you always want to go hunt them down, but I don't know. It's like when I do get to play, I'm by myself so much. I haven't been able to hook up with Strut and Trey much as like I was for a while. And so you end up getting just hammered by, you know, you get three guys in a posse who are good, it's very difficult to stand your ground at that point. But you know, so me going and chasing down some racist dick, it's just not in the cards.
It just the way it looks like they're playing like almost some kind of role playing game if they are with GTA 5. Like the way he sets up these clips, like I said, whether or not they're completely fabricated or what, I don't know. But like there'll be like these like plantation homes or something, and there'll be just like 20 to 30 like Ku Klux Klan people dressed up inside these plantation homes, and you'll see them go in and it's like blowing people up. So like I'm not sure which I hope it's set up so people really aren't doing that.
Right.
But at the same time, I wouldn't put it past them.
The reason I don't think it's a setup is I saw one recently where they were trying to kill these like people in this like cave area, like near the river, like one of those waterfall under the waterfall areas. And then they had just finished killing somebody. And then he just shows up and just murders all of them, like throws like one of those like bottle Molotov cocktail, like things you can get. He like throws that in there, moonshine, whatever they are, throws like two of those in there, and then just starts like roping them and killing them, and then like doing all these like crazy ass kills and shit. Him and like two, there was clearly like two other people with him. So like what Eric's talking about, like you get two or three people, man, and you can fuck some shit up.
I don't remember what we were doing. I was playing with Tracy the other day, and somebody ends up just deciding they're going to take a crack at us, and I don't know why, man. Because anyway, long story short, I down a guy. And I told Trey, hang on, I'm going to run up there and revive him. As long as he stays alive long enough for me to come up and revive him. And as soon as I do, I want you to kill him. And that's what we kept doing.
That's awesome.
If you revive him, he's like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. Don't go into the light, Billy. Bam.
So anyway, High Republic, we have time for that.
Yeah. Don't have time to read because I'm too busy riding my horse around doing cool stuff.
But I was proud of myself. I cracked it open the other day for the first time in months, and I was really stressed that day. And I'll tell you what, it really relieved my stress. I need to do that more often.
I wish we would get some Star Wars video game news.
Yeah,
right.
You know, EA's not going to have any game news they announced, you know, at their whatever their thing is called, the EA Play convention. And, you know, we know that Fallen Order is going to be a thing, Fallen Order 2. Where's it at? What's the schedule for it? Tell us something. What's going on? Because I would love to have a new Star Wars game that isn't Squadrons.
Yeah. Squadrons was fun for a while, but its replayability is hard.
Well, and also from what I understand on the online games, like you got people who just want to play it to have fun, and then there are people who in there have been there since it launched that just all they care about is dominating as an X-Wing or a, you know what I mean? And so like they would just go through and just mow down people who weren't quite sure how to play it yet. So like it got like that, it got very predatory, very predatorial very quick.
No thanks.
So yeah. But easy to lose fun having to do it's like getting beat down so many times in a row by people who just do nothing but play that game.
Yeah.
In their freaking cockpit setup swinging around.
It's like, motherfucker, I got bills. What are you doing?
Playing all I want to do is have some fun. That's it. Well, speaking of fun, don't forget to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Some really cool stuff going on there. We appreciate the support. And to our current patrons and past patrons, you guys rule. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And don't forget to check out TeePublic and Redbubble for the shirts and any other gear that you want some stupid cool artwork on. I wore my I love your hair. Thanks. I grew it myself to work on Sunday morning at church. And ended up having to give a whole conversation about what it represented and who did it because people were like, that's neat. So it was neat.
Look, all it's me on links, a shirt on me.
Yeah, the links to all that stuff down in the show description. So go check that out. And you can follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. There's tons of other follows down there. I'm just going to tell you right now, I have not streamed on Twitch in months, but maybe I'll get back to it. So, but if you want to go see some stupid stuff that we did, you can go to Twitch down there. And Cruiser's got his link down there too. Go check out what he's up to. Have you been streaming much, Cruiser?
I have not. Not really been. Here's what I found when I come to streaming. I have to like really try at it. I have a hard time continually speaking. Like, you know, when I'm playing a video game, I get really into it. And like, it's hard for me to give a detailed like conversation about something while I'm trying to get like 60 kills in a multiplayer game.
Yeah. I tell you what would help you if you want to be able to just talk continuously, pretend like Dallas is trying to get a word in edgewise.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's what I should do. Just constantly like I'm interrupting Dallas always.
But anyway.
Dallas isn't laughing. Dallas is like, fuck you.
I don't get it.
What I meant was, anytime you're trying to talk, Cruiser will just talk over you and past you like nobody's business.
Oh, so if I he needs the other way around. No, I'm sorry.
If he needs motivation to keep talking on his stream, just imagine Dallas is trying to say something. He'll just keep talking, no problem then.
I'm like, fuck that red-bearded bitch. Anyway, this is what I was talking about.
But anyway, there's really nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey. I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
Bad motivators.
I did it all for the nookie.
The bad motivators.